So Luke chapter 12, verse 13 to 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God."
Well, as we come to the end of 2018, I wonder who is looking forward to 2019. Who thinks it's going to be the best year ever? So many plans. Will it be amazing? Will Brexit ruin it? I'm sure everyone here wants a successful year. But the question, what does being successful at life look like? And I don't just mean being successful in a part of life. We know that success in exams means getting good grades. Children, take note. And success as sport means winning. And I love winning, probably love winning a little bit too much. But what does it look like to be successful at life? Well, in our passage that we just had read to us before, we met a man who seemed to be very successful, didn't he? And in fact, we have the privilege of having him here today. So give a round of applause for Sir Bill Barnes. Now, Sir Bill can't speak for legal reasons. His voice is far too valuable to waste on us. But let's read a bit about Sir Bill again. Verse 16, it'll come up on the screen. It says, "And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I'll store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, "You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry."'" Well, Bill, that really is quite impressive. I mean, you're clearly a businessman. You've played the market just right. You bought when prices were low. And you've done so well with your crops. So here's your businessman tie. Bill is clearly a businessman. And none of that would have been possible without your top education, a degree from Cambridge, and then a PhD from Oxford. Top of your class, of course. Well done, Bill. And you've paid off your house in Mayfair as well. There you go. And I love Bill's house. You've done it so nicely. It's got the pool. It's got the gym room. It's even got a slide if you don't feel like going down the stairs. It is amazing. Well, that's not it. I have been drooling over your cars all morning. Here's one of them, one of his cars. But he's got two Ferraris, he's got a McLaren and a Tesla for when you're feeling green. Absolutely fantastic. You've got a lovely wife and two children. They always look so well behaved and idyllic on the front cover of magazines. And now you're retiring before you're 50. Oh, mate. See, now you can play as much golf as you want. There's your golf club. Oh. And It's left-handed. And don't forget about your holidays. Here's your bobble hat for your winter holidays. And we've got your sunglasses. There you go. Prescription, of course. Where's first? Maldives, Tahiti, the world is your oyster. Now you can really start living. You've got everything. Isn't Bill just the picture of success? Glorious. He's so important that even God has his say. I mean, look at verse 20. But God said to him, "You fool." Ah, mate. God doesn't think you're a picture of success. He thinks you're a big old fool. Let's try and work out why. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? See, everyone was round throwing you your big leaving party from work. You were throwing some of your best dance moves. I think we need to see them. So many nice words said about how you're the best boss to work for and how wise you were to stop and enjoy all that you've got for yourself. But then when you went to walk up the stairs that night, suddenly everything went black. And that was it. Everything you'd worked so hard for, taken from you in a flash. Your house, gone. Your hobby, your golf, gone. Car, it's gone. Even your degree's useless now. You see, actually, you left this world with nothing. Off you go. You see, and God's verdict is, "You fool." And that's not saying that Bill was stupid. After all, chances are he was really, really intelligent. But actually, he made two big mistakes that cost him everything and that left him a fool. And we're going to spend the rest of our time looking at them. So the first was that he lived as if there was no God. He lived as if there was no God. Let me read from verse 17 again. And I want you to listen out for every time he says me, my, or I. So it says, he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he says, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." See, this is a man who has everything. He has treasure, he has leisure, and he has pleasure. But he's completely ignoring the God who gave him it all, isn't he? It's as if he's saying to myself, "You've done so well, you've worked so hard. You deserve all of this, so enjoy it." So it's his grain and his money and his to do as he wants with. He's ignoring the fact that God brought such a good harvest. God brought the rain. God brought the sun. God made his crops grow. God is to thank for all the good things that he is enjoying. But Sir Bill Barnes is acting like a spoiled child at Christmas, isn't he? Don't you hate it when you try really hard to find the perfect present for someone? You spend quite a lot of money, you spend loads of time finding it. You're so excited to see them open it. But they just unwrap it, put it to one side, and move on to the next one. No thank you. No appreciation, just what's next? I'm sure some of the parents are nodding at this point. Well, that's what Bill Barnes was like, wasn't it? He was the center of his own universe. He was the king, So verse 21 puts it, he stored up things for himself, but he wasn't rich towards God. Now, if you'd stopped him on the street, he might have said that he believed in God. He may have even gone to church and done jobs on the rota. But the problem was he lived his life without any thought to God. It was all about him. He lived as if there was no God. And Jesus says, you fool. Why? Because to live as if there is no God is to ignore the truth that has been revealed to us, that there is a God. See, we've just been celebrating that fact, haven't we? That if we'd been here 2,000 years ago, we could have met him because he came down in the person of Jesus. Jesus claimed to be God, to be God's son, come down in human form. But we don't just have to take his word for it. I wonder if anyone knows who this man is. Does anyone know who this man is? I thought we were a cultured bunch. I don't know who he is, but I do now. This is Gustave Doré. He was a world-famous French painter. And he was once traveling through Europe when he lost his passport. So he said at the next border, look, I haven't got my passport, don't ask, but I'm Gustave Doré, the world-famous painter. Obviously, he expected them to say, ah, Monsieur Doré, of course, come in. But the official said, sir, we hear claims like that all the time. And Doré responded, but I'm Gustave Doré. Not the best argument in the world. But the official, feeling generous, passed him paper and pencil and said, prove it. And after a lightning sketch and a fancy signature, they let him in because he clearly was Gustave Doré. It doesn't give you great confidence in European border control, does it? But likewise, Jesus didn't just claim to be God, he gave evidence to prove it. In Luke chapter 8, you see Jesus speaking to the wind and the waves, and they obey him. He made blind people see. He even brought a girl back from the dead. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus comes to the house, sees the dead girl and says, she's not dead, she's only asleep. And then he took her by the hand and said, my child, get up. And it says her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. I don't know about you, but as I look at all of the evidence, I come to the clear conclusion that we can know that God is really there, because he has been here in Jesus. See, if you pick up a gospel, you are reading eyewitness accounts of a historical event. And so to live as if there isn't a God is foolish. And that was Sir Bill Barnes' first mistake. But his second was this. He lived as if there was no eternity. He lived as if there was nothing beyond this life, didn't he? And so it was all about the right here, right now. It was all about living his best life, getting the money to spend it on what mattered. That was his life, so that he could say to himself, verse 19, have we got it? No. It says, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. You see, for Bill Barnes, heaven was on earth, as it is for many people. Just look at this retirement photo. So often retirement is pictured as glorious rest, isn't it? Golf every morning, breakfast with the lads, and then fall asleep in the armchair in the afternoon. Or holidays are portrayed as a taste of heaven. Israel is Instagram heaven. It's about coming to paradise, casting off your worries. Bliss. It's about finding those ultimate experiences, because this life is all there is. And if this life is all there is, then that approach would make sense, wouldn't it? Even the Bible says that. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 says, if the dead are not raised, i.e. this life is all there is, then let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And yet Jesus' parable says to live like this is foolish, because death is not the end. Look at verse 20. It says, but God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. The picture here is of something borrowed. Like a book from a library, our lives have been loaned to us by God. And there is coming a day when God will call in that loan, and our lives will be demanded of us. You see, this man lived as if there was no eternity. And yet Jesus says that is foolish, because it's not true. But not only that, Jesus proved that there is life after death, because Jesus himself went through death. 3 days after he died, he rose from the dead. And he appeared to more than 500 people at one time. And the Bible says that because Jesus was raised from the dead, we can be sure that we'll be raised too. We can be certain that there is life after death, eternal life. And so the message is clear. To live as if there's no God, as if we're boss, and as if there's no eternity, that this life is all there is the most foolish thing we could ever do. But the difficult thing is that we live in a society that trains us to think and live as if there's no God and no eternity, where people live with no reference to God, and where people live as if this life is all there is. And so at school, you're told that life is all about getting the good grades to get a good job. The way they talk about it, sometimes you'd think that your life is over if you don't get good grades. Or think about how companies advertise toys and gadgets. This is the must-have gadget to make you happy, to make your life complete. We're told that we need to get better jobs to give to our families everything they want, because that's what will make them happy. That's all that matters. I had a colleague at the bank who went out to 4 different jobs, because he didn't want to ever have to say to his little girls that they couldn't have something. And if we're honest with ourselves, we very often get sucked into living life in the same way. The way of the world rubs off on us, thinking about that next toy or gadget we want that could finally make us happy. Just living for that next holiday to get away from it all. Or that next promotion so that we can have the lifestyle that we want. Just keeping going to retirement, that great oasis, so that we can do everything that we've ever wanted to be able to. Well, Jesus says to just live like this is foolish, because wisdom is found in being rich towards God. And being rich towards God starts by accepting his amazing riches to us in Jesus. Because the truth is that we've all lived as if there's no God and no eternity. We've taken the good gifts and yet ignored him, and lived for ourselves and for our own pleasures. And yet that's exactly why Jesus came. He came to bring us true riches, to bring us lasting treasure, to give us life to the full. He came to make it possible for us to go from ignoring and rejecting God to being friends with God, the greatest treasure that there is, and to make it possible for us to spend eternity with God. Just pause for a second and think about that. We can become friends with God, the one who created everything and who sustains everything. and who loved us enough to send his son to die to make that possible. That through his death, we might be brought back into the relationship we were made for. And once we're in that relationship, being rich towards God is giving him our whole lives, given that he gave us his one and only son. Well, as we finish, I wonder who likes a joke. Who has ever heard an old Skoda joke? I have a Skoda, so I feel like I'm allowed to tell Skoda jokes. Well, one goes like this. Why do Skodas have heated rear windows? To keep your hands warm while you're pushing it. Or one of the best was the one about the guy who goes into a garage and says, "Can I have a petrol cap for my Skoda?" The bloke at the desk thinks for a moment and then says, "Okay, that sounds like a fair exchange." Well, what we saw from Sir Bill Barnes was not a fair exchange, was it? He may have had the house in Mayfair. He may have had the nice cars and even the holidays in the sun, but he sacrificed knowing God now and living with him eternally for a few short-lived pleasures. And at the end of the day, God said to him, "You fool." So as we come to a new year, the question is, are we going to be wise or foolish? Are we going to live for ourselves now and give up knowing God, the greatest treasure? Or are we going to be rich towards God by accepting his Son and giving our whole lives in service of him?